The True Vine Charismatic Church International presents our weekly audio podcast with Reverend Tete Jangma. Let this message fill you with the Word of God.
We have been looking at the general theme of prayer, and we have been looking at the conditions for answered prayer. Today we're going to handle another aspect of prayer that you and I will need in order to get the answers. Prayers are not made just because they have to be made, but they are made because we expect a certain outcome. We expect a certain result. And so we do prayers so God will hear us and be gracious to us. Can I hear an amen? One of the things that you have to take note of is that God gave us this avenue of prayer so that we will strengthen our fellowship with Him. We have a relationship with God, but the relationship is further strengthened by our fellowship. And prayer is one of the avenues by which we fellowship with God. Can you turn with me in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, and after which I'll read another scripture from the Gospel according to St. Luke chapter 11. So let's start from Ephesians 6, 18. Ephesians 6, 18, it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance. Circle the word perseverance, take note of it. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now let's turn to Luke 11, we're reading from verses 5. I believe through 9, 5 through 9, Luke 11. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot arise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needed. Underline the word importunity. Verse 9. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. So we're talking about persistence in prayer, or we may talk about perseverance in prayer. I like to start explaining the word perseverance, and then persistence will come in. The word perseverance means to continue. It doesn't suggest that you start and stop, but you continue till the end. You continue till you get the expected outcome. Number two, perseverance is an attitude of determination. It's an attitude of determination whereby when you start a thing, you pursue it to a logical conclusion. So number one, it means continuing in a thing you have started. And number two, it's an attitude of determination that when you have started a thing, you will continue until you have seen a logical conclusion. To persevere means to persist. And to persist means to remain. So there are situations that God expects you to remain. The situation will pass away, but you will come out victorious with the answer. There are circumstances that by the time the storm comes, the wind blows, the adversity and all the tornado and all the hurricane comes through, God wants you to be found after all these experiences. So tell the next person, remain in Christ. Remain steadfastly in the things that God has for you. Persevere means to pursue. Pursue means to chase after something, to follow after something. In pursuing, you are passionate about it. There's a drive. Many times in life, one of the things that Satan attacks us with is to attack our drive, is to attack our passion for our goals, our passion to achieve, our passion to pursue the ministry of God. And finally, to persevere means to endure. The word endurance gives you the impression that there will be opposition, there will be resistance. Things may not go smoothly. Sometimes it may be jerky. But God wants you to bear. He wants you to go through the situation, although it may not be exactly what you expected. There are some things you cannot do anything about. You just have to bear it. I'll give you an example. If a woman is pregnant, and all things being equal, she's about 6 months pregnant, and everything is fine with her vitals, and everything is fine with the baby in the womb, what she needs to do for the months left is simply endurance. She cannot pull the baby out. She cannot get the baby and put the baby somewhere else. The baby is in the womb. The time has not come. It's not time to deliver yet. So this woman would have to endure. So there are circumstances that are opposed to us. There are challenging situations that are adverse to us. And there are issues that militate us, they fight us. Remember, the Bible says Satan is our adversary, our opponent, and he will resist us. So we have been told in the book, one of the books of Peter, that we should resist steadfastly to the end. So in perseverance, God wants you to persist. He wants you to remain. He wants you to pursue. Wants you to endure. In persistence, number one, you have to be steadfast. Steadfastness means that standing your grounds very well, that nothing of the enemy moves you. Is somebody hearing me? Satan may use fear to move you. Satan may use discouragement to move you. Satan may use all kinds of situations to move you. Sometimes he may even use financial difficulties. He may even use your friends deserting you. But what you have to do is to stand your grounds. Can I hear an amen from somebody? We have a lot to learn from Shammah, one of David's armor bearers, one of David's mighty men of valor. The Bible says Shammah was a man that was not afraid of the Philistines. No matter how many there were in the army that faced them, Shammah stood his grounds. When everybody else was running away and everybody else was fleeing, Shammah would not run away. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? At a time, Shammah needed to get some lentils. It was a delicacy in the East for food. And the Philistines had garrisoned there. They had made that place, the soldiers had made that place their abode. And for Shammah, he would not be moved. He wanted what he wanted. He stood his grounds. He didn't understand why the Philistines should be an obstacle in his way. He didn't understand why the Philistines should be a limitation in his way. And Shammah went in, broke through the garrison of the Philistines. I'm sure the Philistines had lined up. You know how the riot police do it outside. Normally they will line up with their truncheons, wearing their protective gear, and sometimes they hold hands, they interlock their elbows so that you can't push through. And you imagine military men line up like that, maybe about 30 of them in line, and Shammah alone walks through there and said, I want to pass, give me access through here. And the Philistine says, we will not allow you. And Shammah, under the anointing of the Spirit of God, breaks through them, goes to fetch what he wants. And the army of the Philistines just watch him in amazement that one man took us on and one man dealt with us. Listen to me, no matter the number of demons in your background, you are well able. Because one shall chase 1,000, but two shall chase 10,000. Can I hear somebody shout the loudest amen? So in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 58, the Bible says, be ye steadfast, stand your grounds, and unmovable, don't allow little things to move you. Be ye steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. You must abound. Even in the face of adversity, you must be productive. You must have results. You must increase. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, in as much as you know your labor is not in vain. It is for you to make a determination of the fact that what I'm engaged in is divinely approved. What I'm engaged in is divinely sanctioned. And I know that at the end of the day, the great rewarder is the Most High God. So I will not allow myself to be cowed into submission by the devil. You have to be steadfast. Tell somebody, be steadfast. There may have been sicknesses and diseases that may have affected your family members and may be taking their lives one after the other. But like Shammah, you must stand. Can I hear an amen? Did I say Shammah? Shammah. Shammah, forgive me. But like Shammah, you must stand your grounds. You must not be moved by the number that is killing. Remember when the king of Assyria wanted to attack King Jehoshaphat? He wrote a letter ahead and said, have you seen the kings in your neighborhood? They have all fallen to us. And he said that you will not be spared. That is frightening. When a whole nation is coming with its might, and not just one nation, but three nations coming against one small tribe. But the Bible said Jehoshaphat picked the letter, spread it before God, and interceded. And he heard the voice of God saying that you shall not need to fight in this battle. For this battle is not yours, but this battle is the Lord's. They went to the battlegrounds and they defeated the three nations, and victory was established in their lives. Don't chicken out. Don't be cowed down by adverse circumstances. Don't allow yourself to be intimidated by forces of darkness that have been attacking people in your background. Stand tall on the word of God. Stand tall in the word of God. Meditate on the word. Declare the word. Decide that you will conquer where your forebears failed. And decide that you will take the battle to the enemy's territory. I want you to know God has made you and has given you an anointing that must not be moved. Can I hear an amen? If you look at the height of Goliath, that was itself enough to frighten you. And to look at the fact that he was strapped from head to toe in battle gear is another thing that will terrify you. And to come and look at the fact that in his days he lost no battle, because their battle strategy was bring one man from your end and we will choose one man from our side. Whoever defeats the other will prevail upon their enemy. And in other words, you'll be subject to us when we overcome you. So Goliath was bragging and boasting for 40 days and 40 nights. Nobody could elect himself, nor that was the king able to choose a person to face Goliath. Little boy David, who had been meditating on the word and praying, and his faith was high in God, could not be intimidated when he got to the battleground, taking provisions to his brother who were in King Saul's army. So he asked someone, what is the price that shall be offered to the one that defeats this man? Somehow he got the attention of King Saul. They gave him Saul's armory, but he was not experienced at using that. David knew how to use the sling and the stones. So David requested to use his sling and stones instead. Then this tall, towering Philistine started raving and ranting, shouting, I'm sure with a deep voice, and walking confidently. Look at short man like you. You are coming against me like a dog. Today I will deal with you and give your body to the beast of the field. Then I'm sure he laughed. But David stood there. He heard those same words that had moved the rest of Israel. Instead of focusing on those words, he focused on God. Can I hear an amen? I didn't hear an amen. He meditated on God. And he said, I'm not coming against you in my own strength. I'm coming against you in the name of the Lord Jehovah Sabaoth, the God of all battles. And today he will deliver you into my hands. And I will cut off your neck, and I will give your body to the beast of the air and to the beast of the field. And David was not intimidated. He did not back down. He did not backtrack. He did not backslide. But he went forward, put a stone in a sling, and then he went round and round, and then he released it and straight into the forehead of the Philistine. The stone went down. It was like a bullet, and the Philistine went down. Today may your shout release a divine stone out of your sling. Somebody didn't hear it. May your shout be like a bullet, like a missile on a missile launcher, that will penetrate the camp of the devil and break the power of the enemy in the name of Jesus Christ. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? I say, somebody hearing what I'm saying, that day by the hand of David, God defeated the Philistine. And the whole of Israel realized that there was somebody who was steadfast in the Lord. He wouldn't be intimidated and he wouldn't be moved. Listen to me. Sometimes your age can start talking to you and telling you that where you are, if you don't take care, you will live a miserable life. Get up and enter into prayer. Pray until you overcome that thought. If that thought came on Monday, deal with it. If it appears on Tuesday, follow it up. Wednesday, deal with it until that thought cannot prevail against you. And tell yourself that after 60, these are going to be the best days of my life. The things that I didn't enjoy and I omitted and I didn't benefit from, God is going to supply them and is going to provide them. Because according to his word, he has declared that even in my old age, he will bless me like the palm tree. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? Don't be moved by the economy and don't be moved by the change in government. For some of you, your confidence is so much in one political leader and so much in one political administration. But listen to me, they will come and go, but your God abided forever. Forever, oh Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? Don't be moved by the medical report of the doctor. Don't be moved by what the community is saying. Only be moved by the word of God. If you are a planting in the house of God, then you shall be blessed. Did the Bible not say, yeah, I'm not hearing an amen. Did the Bible not say that you should not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, but that your delight should be in the Lord, the Most High God? Did the Bible say, not say that thou shalt meditate on his word day and night, and thou shalt be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, whose leaves shall not fail, that in your season you will bear forth fruit? Listen to me, old age is another season. That is a season of wisdom. That is a season where you enjoy the fruits of your labor. When I travel outside this country and I go into some neighborhoods, I remember that a pastor hosted me in a neighborhood outside this country, and where he was, he told me, do I know that 90% of the people in this neighborhood were retired men? So I went for a walk and I kept looking into their driveways, and I saw 3-4 cars. And sometimes it's only a man who will come out of the house, sometimes he and the wife, because their children had all gone away to settle and start new families. So they had emptiness, but they were loaded. And these were the people that will be headed for the amusement sports. And these were the people that would travel between the hours of 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. by air from one city to the other, because they have made their money and now they are enjoying it. I want you to see your life ahead as a life of blessing, not a life of a curse. As a life of an asset, not a life of liability. As a life where you are independent with the things of God and not with a dependency on godly syndrome. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? The Bible says, you shall be like the tree planted by the rivers of water. Lift up your right hand and shout and say, I am the tree of God, planted by the rivers of water. Can you shout that 3 more times? I am the tree of God, planted by the rivers of water. Can you say number 2? I am the tree of God, planted by the rivers of water. The last one should be louder. I am the tree of God,
planted by the rivers of water. Did the Bible not say that if you believe in me, I will give you the Holy Ghost, and out of your belly shall come rivers of water? I see rivers of water right on your inside. Is somebody hearing me? There are rivers of water that will water your plant. So the rivers are already available. Open your mouth and talk the word of God and declare the seeds that I'm sowing are being watered. My plant shall not wither, whether rain or shine. The leaves shall be green, because my plants are like those in the forest, where throughout the year they receive nourishment. Oh, I thought you would have naturally clapped because I paused for you. I am in another season of my life. It's a season, and every season comes with commensurate blessing, just as there are attacks. So that is why you must stand, irrespective of your age. Whether you are 17 years old or 67 years old, you must stand and face your battles and not chicken away. It is cheap to wish to die when a small demon attacks you. Let me say it again. It is cheap for you to wish to die when a small demon persistently attacks you. The way you can counteract it is to persistently oppose it. Oppose it till it gets tired to leave you alone. So be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For in as much as you know your labor is not in vain. Number two. The word persistence also means to be determined. The Bible says that there was this tribe of Israel by name Ephraim, and God armed them to the teeth. He gave them every weaponry that they required. But the Bible says when they got to the battleground, they ran away. Because they were not determined. You must be determined to follow Christ as a Christian. You must be found 5 years after today in the faith. 10 years, 35 years, 70 years, you must still be found in the faith. You must be determined that you are going nowhere. Because blessings can be found nowhere else except in God. You must be determined that at whatever age in your life, you will still prosper. I didn't get an amen. I didn't get an amen. The older you grow, the more your testimonies must be. Because your intercessions should have brought you to a place when now, when you pray little, the effect is much. Let me repeat myself. I said, let me repeat myself. I am saying that your prayer from when you got born again while young to the time when it is beyond your retirement must be said that you would have expended a lot of energy, power, and faith in prayer, that you should have conquered a lot of things, that at a certain age you just sit down like Elijah and prophesy and things will begin to happen in your family. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? you sit there and say, I desire for an air ticket to visit so and so. And then somebody will call you and say, Daddy, I was thinking about you. Don't you think it's time to have a visit somewhere? Because you have been seated in the house in the year 2020 because of coronavirus. And when you are ready, let me know and I will send you the air ticket. You don't even need to pray. You just think it and it comes to pass. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? I will not accept that the aged become poor. I will not accept it. And I will not accept that the young man will struggle. Every struggle shall be rewarded. Is somebody hearing me? Every struggle for your faith in God shall be rewarded. Abraham, hope against hope. And Abraham staggered not in unbelief, but he gave glory to God and kept praising God until the time came when Abraham was blessed. I challenge you, stop that life of ungodly resignation. Stop that life where the things you used to do for the Lord, you have stopped everything and now you have resigned and you are seated at home. Rubbish. Stop that life where you are saying God has not done some things for you, so you are not going to do anything. Listen, have you forgotten that Caleb at the age of 85 went to the leadership and asked, is this land vacant? They said, there are some enemies there. He said, give me that land that I will fight them with my current anointing and take that portion for my generations behind. Be bold. Be bold. Get up from where you fell. Get up from where you were knocked down. Get up from where you were apparently defeated and rise to the occasion and be ye steadfast. Be determined in your mind that you will make it and make it well. Be determined to be a good Christian. Be determined to live in purity for God. Be determined to be a giver even when you are 90. Not that you will sit so that they will bring things. They may bring things, but you should be so blessed you redistribute the things. Somebody put your hands together. So persistence means to be steadfast, means to be determined, and it means to be tenacious. You have steel in your backbone. You have a stubborn character against poverty. You have a stubborn character against disease, sickness. You stand firm. You stand strong. You don't waver. You don't allow things to just affect you. Let's go to Ephesians 6:18. It says, praying always, not sometimes. You see where your problem is? You pray when you have problems. You pray when the challenges are critical. There are some of you, unless you have trouble on your job, you will never attend weekday prayer. There are some of you, unless your husband has started maltreating you and his attention is gone either on his family, extended family, on another person, you will never come and pray. There are some of you, unless things get critical, you will never see God. But the Bible says, praying always, not sometimes, not when you like. So you pick and choose the services when God says, forsaking not the assembling together of the brethren. You are violating the word of God when you forsake the assembling of the brethren. Meanwhile, you are the one expecting to be blessed. Oh, say amen. I didn't mean to be hard. The Bible says praying always with all prayer. Look, always with all prayer. Prayer of confession, prayer of petition, prayer of supplication, prayer of worship, prayer of thanksgiving, intercessory prayer, prayer of dedication. Praying always with all prayer. Don't only open to Psalm 91 and read it. That's a lazy prayer. Everything Psalm 91. Everything Psalm 37. That's a lazy prayer. And you have prayers that you just repeat, and they are simple lines that make no meaning to you. That's not prayer. Your prayer must be done always with all prayer and supplication in the spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance. Always, all prayer, all perseverance. If the perseverance means to persist, you persist. If the perseverance means to remain, you remain. If it means to pursue, you pursue. If it means to endure, you endure. If it means to continue, you continue with all perseverance. Pastor, as for me, I don't like what is happening in my family. I'll change my name. Keep the name. Tell the next person, keep the name and prosper, so that we will know your roots, that God blessed you. The word perseverance, I'm now going to the Greek, is the word proskaterio. P-R-O-S K-A-R T-E-R-E-O. P-R-O-S-K-A-R-T-E-R-E-O. Proskaterio, number one, means to be earnest toward. You remember in the previous weeks, we said that Elijah was earnest in prayer, that he was a man subject unto like passion as us. But he prayed that there should be no rain. And for 3.5 years, there was no rain. The Bible described his prayers as earnest prayer. Prayer with intensity. Prayer like red hot fire. Not bodo bodo. Prayers. Earnest. Red hot. Fervent. Zealous, passionate. You say, why are they praying like that? Because you haven't studied prayer in the word. Number two, proskaterio, a word for perseverance, means to be constantly diligent. That word diligent means you are hard working. You see, there is an average worker and there's a lazy worker. These two will not bless you. The real blessing is in diligent work. The Bible says the hand of the diligent shall bear rule. There's some authority that God ascribes to people who naturally work hard in their field of endeavor. So it's important for you to realize that in your perseverance, you must be constantly diligent, because Satan will want to attack you like he did Elijah, so that you go and sit under a juniper tree and say, Lord, kill me because I'm afraid of Jezebel. You must be constantly working diligently. Nothing must keep you from the calling of God. Nothing must undermine the assignment that God has given to you. You must continue. David never stopped. That's why he became a king. Joseph never stopped serving. That's why he became a king. You want to become a king? You have thrown away your diligence. Go back for it. If you work as an ordinary worker, you get ordinary blessings. You work as a lazy worker, you get lazy blessings. But you constantly work diligently, you will get the reward that makes you bear fruit. Number three, perseverance means to attend assiduously. You see, when you are attending to something, then you are giving your attention to that thing. You are making time for it. And you do that with all your energy, your passion. You don't do it half and half. You don't do it lukewarm. You attend to it because you want to practice all perseverance. From the word proskaterio. So in that word, while you are earnest, you are also constantly diligent, and you also attend to things assiduously. Number four, proskatere means to adhere closely. Your godly stickability will be blessed. Okay, let me give you the opposite of this. You know, there are some ladies, when the gentleman is sucking them while they are courting, they will never go. They'll call the guy and they say, can I come? The guy says, if you like, come. The guy makes you sit there for 2 hours. He attends to other people and talks to other ladies on the phone. Then you say you want to go. He would ask you, are you tired? You can go back. Then you say, oh, if you love me, you give me attention. He said, but you brought yourself. I didn't ask you to come. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? And then there's a quarrel. There's an argument between you, and then he slaps you. He wants you to go. But there are some women with ungodly stickability. That sticking is not approved of God. And they must find their... I'm not asking you if you are married to leave the marriage. Me, I'm preaching the word in general. If you are married, stay there. I'll come to the other side. But I'm talking about someone you are dating, and the person is already maltreating you, insulting your father, insulting your pastor. When the Bible says, honor thy father and thy mother, and he doesn't respect anybody. How can he embrace your relatives? And then you come to church and say, pastor, pray for me. No, some of those prayers, we should not pray them. Pastor. I love this brother. I want you to pray for me that will get married. You are not even saying that God will help you. Then you get married, then it's like life imprisonment, and you cannot come out. Now you cannot pray because he's not spiritual, and he doesn't allow the word of God and the Holy Spirit to guide him. So he takes decisions out of his impulse. So he says, no church from June to December. Okay? When we bring forth, we are not naming it in church. We have a tradition. We take the child to the village and they will pour alcohol and name the child. Okay, this is my child. And then your life is so miserable. You say, let's go and honor our tithes and offer. He says, no, I don't pay any tithe. The pastors are consuming the man. Don't you see how they dress? They wear double-breasted gowns. your whole life. Then you come back to pastor. Pastor, pray for me so that my husband will be committed to church. It's a wastage of prayer. This is ungodly stickability. That same guy will ask you, you're coming to church on Sunday, saying, don't go to church, come to my house, watch for me. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That same guy, you want to come to church, and he says that I feel for fufu and lye soup. Sunday morning, can it be ready by 10 o'clock? He said, no, it cannot be ready by 10 o'clock. In the meantime, you are not supposed to be cooking and carrying the food while you are dating. That is not your ministry. That's ungodly stickability. But there is a godly stickability. Oh, somebody put your hands together. I mean, you stick to the things that are of God. You stick to the things that are of the household of faith. You stick to tithing to the end. Somebody says, oh, I used to work, but now I don't work, so does the church expect me to give tithes? Yes. It didn't say tithes out of your salary. It says tithes out of your increase. God knows language better than you and I. The increase is anything that is added to you. So even if you are not working, you are eating. So there is a stickability. Stick to the word of God. Stick to the revelation of God. Stick to the grace of God. Stick to the service of God. Stick to commitment. Stick to the right things. That is perseverance. Jesus preached, and then thousands of people followed him. Then Jesus said, if you drink of my blood and eat of my flesh, you go to heaven. Then all of them left, and it was left with the 12. Then Jesus asked them, will ye also go away? Hey, Jesus, he can ask some questions. So then Peter answered, no. He said, for you, Christ, you have the words of life. So we are sticking to this word, not the tradition of men. If you are in the house of God, stick to the house of God and stop the wishy-washy life. Stop that you have to go and honor tradition. Listen to me. There is only one day we honor God. A few hours. Now they have determined that it should not be more than 2 hours. Can't we close service and you go and give to Caesar what is Caesar's? When you give to Caesar what is God's, it becomes a curse in your life. So number one, proscatere means earnest towards your objective. Number two, constantly diligent. Number three, to attend assiduously. Number four, to adhere closely. Number five, to wait. You know, waiting is difficult. Even me as a preacher, when you are waiting, it's not pleasant. And Satan will let all kinds of theories come into your mind. I've heard people who are waiting someday. Hey, Pastor, we have prayed and prayed and prayed. Pastor, we are now tired. Pastor, we have attended church and attended church and attended church. Pastor, we are now tired. Pastor, so how long shall I wait? You know, sometimes some young ladies can call you, Pastor, I feel for a man, and you say I shouldn't marry, and I'm now 34. Pastor, what shall I do? Well, the final point about proscatere is endure. Tell the next person, endure. Endure. Endure means go through the hardships without complaining. Endure means go through the circumstances while being joyful. Endure means don't change your attitude negatively. Stay there and wait till you get the answer. So wait. When the answer delays, wait. When God says, wait for me, wait. You know what happened when King Saul couldn't wait and rush to perform the sacrifices? Then the prophet appeared and the prophecy went against him. Tell the next person, please wait, wait. When God says, wait, wait. Don't go and follow some strange prophet. Wait. Waiting is waiting. The prophet can say nice things to you, but it may not bring the answer immediately. Now, it may even bring an answer in one area, but there are 60 more areas in your life that you will still have to wait. You will wait. The best things are waited for. The people that normally get a profession in this life are the people who study for 6 years, 7 years in the university. If you go and do some 3 months program, you can't say you're a professional. So in perseverance, you work hard to the end. You continue throughout the period. You pursue till you accomplish. You remain and abide until God brings the answer. If you want your efforts to be crowned, then pray. Because there are forces of darkness that may resist your prayer. Daniel prayed, and from the first day, God answered it. But it took 21 days before the answer arrived. And Daniel continued persistently in prayer until the answer arrived. Don't have your own timetable of how you want God to answer your prayers. Depend on the timetable of God. If there is opposition, fight it. And fight through till you accomplish. People that persevere, wait till the end so that God will crown their efforts. So I like how we can restate Ephesians 6:18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Praying always, all prayer, all perseverance, all supplication. If you care to read, you realize that the armor of God was spoken of earlier. Now somebody says, while you wear the whole armor of God, aim at all the graces at all times, on all occasions, while you establish your spiritual defense in the warfare against the devil. So put on the whole armor of God, that you may stand against the wiles of the devil. And while you do so, aim at all graces. Let me put it that way. All grace. Grace to walk in peace. Grace to walk in joy. Grace to remain. Grace to abide. Grace to endure. Grace to pray. Grace to study the word. Grace to look up to God with high expectation. While you wait. While you wait. Aim at all graces. At all times. Whether you're in the Makola market, or you're on the highways of Tudu, or you are walking through the residential areas of Adedinkpo, whatever it is, aim at all graces, at all times, on all occasions. that I may be walking here, and if God has guided my steps, I may meet someone who knows me. I may meet someone who will direct me. I may meet someone who will show the way. I may meet someone whose phone number will help me get another person's phone number. Aim at all graces. Mary was there one day, an ordinary day, and an angel of the Lord visited. The grace of angelic visitation can happen where you are. Can you put your hands together? Yes. While you wear the armor of God, aim for all graces at all times, on every occasion. While you establish your spiritual defense in warfare against your enemy. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. One of the short verses, it says, pray without ceasing. It's just like, and Jesus wept. Pray with a whole vessel. Pray without ceasing. Did you pray when we came to church? Yes. Did we pray before we started service? Yes. Might we pray after the word? Probably. After service, should I be praying? Yes. Before I sleep, should I pray? Yes. When I wake up in the morning, what shall I do? Yes. When I'm even in the office, I should be praying in my spirit. When I'm in the field doing business with people, I must be able to discern whether I'm not dealing with a quack, a charlatan, or a con man, or whether I'm dealing with the right person. Praying without ceasing, under your breath, you must be praying. You must be praying. Even in church, you say, Lord, speak to me. I need some counsel. I need some enlightenment. I need some direction. Lord, speak to me. Lord, I don't understand why my child used to do very well in the, lower primary, but now higher primary, my child is not doing well. Lord, send a word. You are praying. If you are not praying, you will leave your mind like a field for the devil to sow depression. So keep praying. And for those of you who always behave like, we have been praying and nothing has changed. Oh yes, it's your training grounds. Pastor, as for my husband, he won't change. He will never change. Oh, according to your words, I don't want to say so be it. Hey, Apostle Paul was worse than your husband. He went for letters of authorization to persecute the church. When Stephen was being stoned, he was the one that said, give me his clothing. And he stood there when they got the man virtually naked and started stoning. The man would travel to Damascus to get letters of authorization. He didn't persecute illegally. He backed himself by the law. One day he was riding on a horseback and saw a blinding light, and he fell from the back of the horse, and he heard the voice, and the voice said, Saul, Saul, why dost thou persecute me? Don't you know you are kicking against the authority of God? Kicking against the thorns? And Paul said, who are you? And he said, I'm Jesus Christ, the same person you are persecuting. And he was then Saul, and his name was changed to Saul, Paul. May your soul change into Paul. Oh, come on, you should have clapped and shouted and shouted. If there was anyone who stood for the gospel and exemplified perseverance, then it was Paul. You could beat the man stone him to the point of death, put him in a basket by his disciples. Over the wall he went. When he landed on the other side and got up, he said, "We are going to preach to these people. If it was me, I'll go back and say, 'Oh God, so all this dedication and prayers we made before preaching, you didn't hear. Look at how they are beating me. I need to go and have a scan to be sure that I don't have internal bleeding. Then I will decide whether I will continue preaching or travel back home quietly.'" But Paul didn't even wait for sympathy. Paul didn't even wait for words of encouragement. The Bible says at one stage, "And all men forsook me." But he said, "The angel of the Lord, the angel of the Lord stood by me. I see the angel of the Lord standing by you." Oh, can I hear? All grace, having all sufficiency in all things. All grace. You cannot give up because you are closer to the miracle than when you started. You are closer to your destination than the origin. You are closer to breasting the tape than the starting line. You cannot give up. You cannot give up. And I assure you, you will not die. May God add more years to your years. You will not die. You wish you would die. You will not die. May death run away from you. When death sees your face, may it run away from you so that you and I will persevere. You must be a Christian that exudes confidence, not false confidence, that people can rally around you when they are discouraged. They can call you because they know that even if you don't have the answer, your voice will be heard by God. Yes. Small thing, then you checking out. Small thing, then. Oh, come on. Are you getting blessed? If you're getting blessed, shout louder than you did. And pray without ceasing. That is 1 Thessalonians 5:17. I want you to turn with me now to Luke chapter 11, verses 5 to 8. You remember we read it at the beginning. Now, this was a parable that Jesus spoke concerning a man who got visited by a friend. And normally you would have some provisions to cater for your guest, but he didn't have one. And looking at the situation, I'm sure this friend had traveled from afar. He realized that he couldn't wait till the morning. So what he did was he went to a friend nearby. He had the confidence that when he knocked on the door of the friend would hear him. You look at the scriptures once again. So verse 6 of Luke chapter 11. "For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me and have nothing to set before him." Have you seen it? "And he from within shall answer and say, 'Trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee.'" I mean, this would be a painful answer. Then Jesus says in verse 8, "I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he's his friend, yet because of his importunity," circle the word importunity, "he will rise and give him as many as he needed." In other words, Jesus says sometimes you can have someone who is a real friend, but there may come a time when he may not be able to respond to your request adequately. But what may have you get the thing will be your importunity. What is importunity? Importunity means making persistent, urgent requests. Now listen to this. Jesus spoke of another parable. And in this parable, he said that there was a widow, which means her husband had died. And she had nobody to speak for her. And she needed to face a judge to make a request. And when she went, this judge had earned the accolade of being an unjust judge. I mean, when you talk about a crooked judge, a bribe-taking judge, a judge that perverted justice and the course of righteousness, this man was known for that. And this woman had no one else to go and plead for her, and had no other authority to plead to except the same man. So the widow went there, and the man turned him away. Then the Bible says she didn't go away. She went back again and went back again. And the Bible says, because of her persistence, the judge granted her request. In this aspect of the importunity, we are talking about someone who got a friend and didn't have provisions to refresh the friend, and so went to knock on the friend on the door, another close friend in the neighborhood. And then the friend said, no, it's late, I cannot rise and give you. It is your importunity, your persistence in the request, that will get the guy to open the door. So importunity means making persistent and urgent requests. Number two, importunity means to ask with earnestness and insistence. In order to be able to pray this kind of prayer, you must be a child of the Word of God. To understand the will of God, so that when you are hitting at something, you have no doubt that you're on target. I heard the story of a pastor in this country who wanted to marry from a particular family. And when the people looked, the family looked at this man, they said, no, you cannot marry our daughter. He prayed for the people who opposed him to die, and three people died in the family. But in the end, he didn't marry the person. If it was God who wanted him to marry, why is it that the opposers who died, and still he couldn't marry the person? Then he went to another family and went to pray. And this time he got married to the person. After 20 years, they divorced. The thing I'm telling you, there's a will of God. And you must know the word and know the will of God. So when you know that it's the will of God that he should not be sick, and that he will heal you, and that's why Jesus went to the cross and shed his blood, and that Jesus bore our burden, that him by his stripes we are healed, you will persist in prayer. If you know the will of God, that although he was rich, yet the Bible says he became poor, that through his poverty we might become rich. Then when you're asking for wealth, you have no guilt. You will ask for it, and even ask for a ship or a steamer. You will have no shadow of doubt, because what you are asking for falls in the line of the will of God. Listen to me. The person realized that only my friend could help me out. And if I knock on any other door that I don't know, it's worse than this. I will persist with earnestness. I will persist with diligence. I will persist with passion, and my prayers will be answered. Your child's school fees will be paid. your next rent for accommodation shall be paid. Your car shall be provided for. Oh, I'm not hearing an amen. Your ministry will be fulfilled and rewarded by the Spirit of God. The power of God will fall upon your life. The anointing of God will fill your life in the name of Jesus. You will prevail against every power of darkness that has fought your forebears in the name of Jesus Christ. When you raise your voice, the demons will scatter and the hand of God shall prevail for you in the name of Jesus Christ. Can I suggest to you, in your old age you will prosper. In your youthful stages you will prosper. In your middle ages you will prosper. If it has delayed, wait for it. If there are harsh conditions, endure it. If circumstances want to move you and people are gossiping about you, be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For in as much as you know your labor is not in vain, if you don't know you are called to be a pastor, the devil will shake you. Because you will preach one message and you find the opposite happening in your house. But you have to be persistent. Apply the same word to your house. We are not called to be bullied by inflation. We are not called to be afraid when there's change in government. We are not called that when God says stay in your country, then you are finished. No, you are a planting of the Lord by the rivers of water. You must not chicken out. You must be like Isaac, who has stopped the wells that the Philistines had blocked, which his father dug. They pushed him and he went on and he dug another well from Sitna to Isaac, and he dug another well until he came to his Rehoboth, which means an open place, a place of enlargement. May you enter your Rehoboth, your land of double portion, your land of increase, your land of abundance, your land of enlargement of coast and territory in the name of Jesus Christ. Robert Schuller wrote and said, tough times don't last, but tough people do. You must be stronger than the storm. You must be stronger than the wind. You must be stronger than the adversity. You must be more stubborn than the worst stubborn. It may seem like you are drowning today, but you are nearer the shore. It may seem like your boat is capsizing, but the hand of God will sustain you and bring you to the shore. It may seem like there is no hope, but in Christ Jesus, there is hope for tomorrow. There is hope for your future. I'm concluding with the story of that man who bought a parcel of land because he was told there were diamonds in that land. And he dug and dug and dug for many decades, and he didn't get anything. So they decided to sell the land. When he sold the land, the next people who occupied it, they just needed to dig down 1 foot, and then they got hold of the diamonds. If they had only persisted and dug 1 more foot, they have been wealthy in their day and their time. You are too close to the miracle to start confessing negative. How can you be so close to the promised land that you will say that because you had shortage of water and the waters of Mara were bitter, so you want to raise another leader to lead you back to bondage because you used to have the taste of garlics and onions. You could have taken these seeds to your promised land and sowed it there, so that if you like the flavor of Chinese food, let the flavor stay in your mouth. But to say, contrary to the word of God, that you are raising leaders to take you back, I will not stop preaching like the way I'm preaching. I will preach more than this. Because let God be true and every man a liar. Every circumstance a liar. Stand firm in the liberty where Christ has set you free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Stand tall. The Lord will make you tall. We started in our first series in prayer, envision what you want to be, envision your tomorrow, envision next week, envision next month, envision next year, envision the things you want God to do for you before the end of the year and after the end of the year. Envision it. Is it lands you need? Sometimes you need lands. You need to invest in land, wall the thing, find a security there. Sell the land after 12 years. You will find that even your entitlement of social security will not match it. If you have 20 plots and you sell one every 2 years, you will not be hungry in your retirement. If you believe God that from now you're going to persevere to the end. Now, you haven't shouted yet. I haven't heard your shout. And you haven't clapped the biggest. Let me hear it. Let God hear it. Let your faith rise to the throne of God. Let the power of God ginger you. Let the grace of God stir you. Let the anointing of God prevail. Lift up your voice and begin to pray. Yabasundarabakaya. Ayelerebekaya.